There's a saying we hear sometimes, preach often and sometimes use words. And some of the best preaching is lives, our lives that are laid down. What we do behind this pulpit is, you know, often recognized as, I'm not saying it's not important, but it's often recognized with far more relevance and importance than it has. Really, it's the life lived. So I think it's appropriate, and so we do honor you guys tonight. And for lives laid down and examples for all the people that have certainly touched you. I've told people, I was just talking about it the other day, in fact, when I heard you were coming, that the best salads were made by this lady. Brother D and Sister Ethelwyn took our high school graduating class on a trip. And we showed up there in time to, in those days, you know, lots of tents were set up for conventions. And so us high school guys were helping set up all the tents. But we were there for several days. And every day at lunchtime, Sister Carolyn made salads to die for. And to this day, I can remember her salads. And so, yeah, she's an anointed salad maker. And anointed lives that have been given for the sake of the body of Christ. So thank you all. We salute the Christ in you. Yes. And you're real. I can guarantee you that's how you lay treasure up in heaven. And moth and rust does not corrupt it. Turn with me tonight, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. The Lord was talking to me this afternoon about this verse, and it's appropriate from what we've been hearing already this evening. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and just verse 7, I just want to pull it right out. It says, therefore, as you abound in everything, someone say everything. Everything. As you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. That's kind of what we've been hearing, that we abound in these things, that we're not lacking. Because Paul read it, if these be in you and abound. It's not just, you know, give me a quarter teaspoon of it and hope it gets me through the day. God's looking for a people to abound in all of these things. Our temptations abound. And these things are to abound. Amen? But what I want to pull out of here is just one word. And it says, in everything in faith and utterance. Utterance. That's the word logos. That's the Greek word logos. Utterance. And as you know, the logos is the word spoken, including the thought. It's not just what's uttered, but it includes the thought. So without preaching on this topic, let me just put a parenthesis, because this one topic I love to preach on. When Jesus came into the world, he came in as the express thinking of the Father. So that when you saw Jesus, you saw God manifested in the flesh. He was the Word, or the Logos, that was made flesh. So when you saw the Word, you saw the thinking of the Father. I kind of like that. Because what you and I are being called up into is let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And when you see me and I see you, we should be seeing the Father's thinking. And we just heard tonight what the Father's thinking looks like. What it looks like, what it sounds like, how it behaves, the Father's thinking. So, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, right? And so, this is an utterance that we are to abound in. And sometimes we barely get it out of our mouth, we even forget who we are. But it's not because you're worthy, it's not because you have something of yourself. It's because of what He did in you that we're giving utterance to. And we're to abound in it, in all faith, in all utterance. What else? in all knowledge. That means you're to have an intimate knowledge with this great mystery that is Christ in you, the what? The hope of glory. We're to have great utterance of this. We're to have great knowledge of this. We're to have great wisdom concerning this. We're not to be, you know, walking along as woe is me. We're to give great utterance, and which means that when I speak concerning those things that he is and that he's done, the man of faith, that's why faith comes first, because the walk of faith, this is how the just live, speak of those things, come on, that be not as though they were, and they give utterance with great abundance, and it's not conditioned on the fact that they see it. How about that? So you go through life not seeing always what you're striving for, and you're still to give utterance. So Abraham would be called the father of faith, and he staggered not at the promise, not having received the promise. But he looked for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker was God, and he went home and died in faith without actually receiving it. That's what faith is all about. That I am able in all utterance and abounding in that utterance to speak of those things that are my inheritance, whether I actually get it in my lifetime or not. That's faith. And we are to stir up that gift of faith and give utterance to it. Let the thinking of the Father be expressed. That's how the Word is made flesh. The express image of the Father. That's what God's doing with us. All right? Okay, now Judges chapter 12. Remember this word logos, or the utterance. Judges chapter 12. Ruth and Samuel. Kings, where are we? Kings, Chronicles, Joshua, Judges, where am I? There we go. Okay, Genesis, Judges chapter 12. I know what's in here. Who remembers Jephthah? As soon as you hear Jephthah, what do you think about? Making the vow, right? The foolish vow. Everybody forgets the story that comes after. Because we all remember, of course, that there was a tremendous battle with the Ammonites. And Jephthah, who was a Gileadite, he goes out and God gave him the victory over the Ammonites. And we all know the foolish vow that he said, if God gives me victory, then the first one that comes out to greet me, I'm going to offer her to the Lord. And who came out? His daughter. Okay, and the story closes there, and you're never really sure whether he sacrifices his daughter or not. But that was the foolish vow. But going into chapter 12, verse 1. And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said unto Jephthah, wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon? And you did not call us to go with you. We will burn thy house upon thee with fire. And Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon. And when I called you, you delivered me not out of their hands. And when I saw that you delivered me not, I put my life in my hands and passed over against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hand. Wherefore then are you come up unto me this day to fight against me? Then Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim. And the men of Gilead smote Ephraim, because they said, you Gileadites are fugitives of Ephraim among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites. And the Gileadites took the passages of Jordan. This is important. They took the crossing places, the fording place of Jordan. They took the passages of Jordan before the Ephraimites, and it was so that when those Ephraimites which were escaped said, let me go over, that the men of Gilead said unto him, art thou an Ephraimite? If he said, nay, they said unto him, say now Shibboleth. And he said Sibboleth, for he could not frame to pronounce it right. Then they took him and slew him at the passages of Jordan, and there fell at that time of the Ephraimites 42,000. 42,000 Ephraimites who didn't know the password to the Jordan. Pretty important. 42,000 Ephraimites killed by their brethren, the Gileadites, because they didn't know the password. And when they were said, when they were told, say Shibboleth. Which of you children can say Shibboleth? Pretty good. You guys can come across the Jordan. But when they were told to say Shibboleth, they said, who was listening? Sibboleth. They didn't pronounce it properly. They didn't have the right utterance. They weren't able to give utterance to the proper word to take them across the Jordan. What does Jordan always speak of? Death. It's a death. And this is so many times the problem with the people of God is they've forgotten the covenant of their God. They've forgotten the password. And turn with me now to Proverbs chapter 2. The password at the Jordan is very important, because if you don't remember it, you don't remember what it's for either. How many know that those that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ? That's what the Jordan River is all about. It's a place where you identify with His death. And what you're identifying with is that the old man is dead. He's gone. So quit talking to him. But the Ephraimites had forgotten the password. Now, if you've done any study in Scripture at all, you know that Ephraim is always the code word in Scripture for Israel. In fact, they're interchangeable all through Scripture. Many times when the prophets are referring to Israel, they refer to it as Ephraim, and vice versa. So Israel, or Ephraim, always types the 10 tribes that went into captivity. So it's that part of the church that, because they followed me not with their whole heart, I will take them away with fish hooks. And they go off into captivity. So it's that part of the church that is absorbed by the system. And they disappear, those 10 tribes. So that's what Ephraim, that's what the whole book of Hosea is about. It's about Ephraim's carnality, its harlotry, its whoredom. And it's speaking of all of Israel. And so this is speaking to you and I of a sector of the church that forgot the password of the Jordan, the password of the Jordan passages. And so there is a faithful judge in Israel. How many know we have a faithful judge? All He wants from you, brother, is the right password. All He's asking for is say Shibboleth. In other words, have you reckoned the old man to be dead? Because that's what we have to do, don't we? Reckon the old man dead. Because he that is dead indeed unto sin, he that is free from sin. And we're to give what? Great utterance to this. We're to abound in it. That we entered into a covenant relationship by faith, Colossians tells us, that when we went down into the waters of baptism, there was an operation of God that took place, not something we were able to perform. There was a miracle that happened in your agreement with the death of the old man. And it was a circumcision that was not made with hands, but it was a circumcision of the heart. And it says, we're to abound in utterance, abound in great faith, speaking concerning those things that happened at the Jordan Fords. How about that? So down there at the Jordan, there was agreement made. Don't forget the password, saints. Don't forget that you were baptized into Christ. You've put on Christ. And the old man is dead. You just have to reckon him dead. And every time you reckon him dead, here's what you're doing. Shibboleth. Shibboleth. Okay, you can come. Shibboleth. Okay, you can cross. Shibboleth. Okay, you can cross. But if you don't know it, guess what happens? Why? Because you just decided to return. You just decided to be identified. Praise the Lord. Amen. We spend far too much time in identifying with what we were in Adam rather than who we are in Christ. And the reason we have trouble with it is because to declare and utter and abound in our utterance concerning who we are in Christ requires you doing something about something you cannot see. Because this is what we see. And it's that corruption under the tree. So when we look at our circumstances and we look at everything, we're convinced something must be wrong about this. You know? You know, God can even leave something unfinished in my sister and not hold her accountable for it until He's done with me. How many have found that in a marriage? And you're saying, God, if You would just fix this, we'd be in unity. If You would just fix it with her. And you're busy praying, oh God, heal her, do this, do that. And God's just waiting for you to look in the mirror and say, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And then finally you repent and you get it right and God goes, and it's fixed in the other person. And you think, that's not fair. What? How come that happened so fast? He was waiting on me. And so God's saying, remember the password. You're right here at the Jordan River. How many remember the story of 2 Samuel chapter 19 where David, remember, had been sent into exile because his son had rebelled and had taken the throne. So David is over in exile, but being a smart king, he left a spy behind. And the spy would sneak back and forth across the Jordan bringing messages to King David concerning what was going on. So on one of these trips back, David sends the spy back with a message to his brethren, the tribe of Judah. Not to all of Israel, just to David's brethren of the tribe of Judah. And he said to them, he said, give them this message. Seeing you're my nearest kin, why have you not sent word for me to return? And it says this, he bowed the hearts of all of Judah as one man. So that they sent this word to the king saying, return. So isn't this interesting? They probably would have never asked him to return unless he had slid a message in there. That's what God's doing in your heart and mine. There's a cry in you for the return of the Lord. We're not smart enough to come up with that on our own. It's the deep crying unto deep, wanting to be joined with their Maker. He's sending a message. And when we get a hold of it and we understand it, we're supposed to abound in utterance. We begin to cry out for Him to return. And we heard about government tonight. The rule right here is where he's got it. Because the kingdom of God does not come with observation. But where is it? It's within you. And it's here to rule. It's here to reign inside of us. Amen? It says he bowed the hearts of all Judah as one man that they would send a message back to him now, return. And then David says, oh, you want me to return? After he said, I'll tell you what. If you want me to return, meet me. Here was another ford of Jordan. Meet me at Gilgal. Because Gilgal was one of the fords of the Jordan River. He said, meet me at Gilgal, and there I will meet with you, and there you will escort me across the Jordan. What's Gilgal mean? It's the place of circumcision. What else? It's where the reproach of Egypt is rolled away. So what a setup. The king sets it all up, and he says, meet me at Gilgal, because that's where the reproach is completely rolled away. So for the people that remember the password and the king returns, all of this reproach of corruption, praise God, is going to be rolled away. That's where you and I, we're down at the fords of the Jordan. And he's telling us to give utterance to Shibboleth. Shibboleth. Begin to utter the password with great faith, with great wisdom, with great diligence concerning who you are in Christ. who He's made you to be, not what you remember about your status in Adam. Or even sometimes how we still dip into it. Remember Paul? It's no longer I, but sin that dwelleth in me. See, that's very important. Paul there in Romans said, this is no longer I. The good that I would, I do not. And he goes back and forth. Then he says, it's no longer I, but sin. What's he saying? He's saying, when I do this, that is not who I am. That's what he's saying. When I fall and I say, that is not who I am, but it's sin. Now, what does he mean when he says sin? It's the nature. He's not talking about an action that I did. He said, when he says, it's no longer I. In other words, I am a new creation man. And I'm giving utterance with faith, with diligence, concerning who I am in Christ. It's not who I am, but it's sin. What's he saying? It's a nature that's not yet dealt with. But I no longer identify with that nature. I still feel draws. I still feel pulls. There are times when I would want to identify with the familiarity that I had with the old man, but that is not who I am. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's what we got to give great diligence and utterance concerning. Or else, you will create your identity based on your mistakes. When you fall, all of a sudden, oh, I'm no good, I'm never going to make it. Da, 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 da. That's not who you are. No. That's not who I am. No. That's sin that's still lying at the door. It's a nature that if I will hold to the course, God promised that He would take it away. Because He didn't just come to forgive sin. He came to take sin away. That's to deal with the nature. But He'll never be able to deal with it unless I keep speaking of those things that be not as though they were. And stagger not at the promise of God. Because I'm a new creature in Christ. Someone say, I'm a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Doesn't matter whether your roots are spreading out in corruption. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's exactly the way it's supposed to be. Because in you, you have the power to turn corruption into oxygen. My gosh. If we would begin to give utterance to that, let it spill out on one another. But when we see somebody slip, we identify them with the slip. So what? They slipped. That's not who they are. Treasures where? In an earthen vessel. And we pay more attention to the earthen vessel sometimes than the treasure. But we should be treasure hunters. I like that scripture in Job about the treasures in the snow, because it applies to us up here, Woody. There's treasures in the snow. Amen? And promotion comes from the north. So in all this testing and all these trials that God has us in, it's supposed to be that way, and we're supposed to be able to breathe out oxygen. And it affects one another. It says it's the leaves of that tree is going to be for the healing of the nations. That those are trees of righteousness that have grown up in the midst of affliction and have nothing to give out but life. But life. You know what that means? They're no longer identified with the human nature, which when it breathes in, breathes out carbon dioxide. Man, Gary spent 5 seconds, and he just mentioned that in passing down there, and I tell you the bombs went off inside of me. I thought, I can't wait to start studying trees. Because there's lots about trees. And trees have the power to take everything around them and turn it into something profitable. And so we're called to abound in these things. Amen? Here in Proverbs 2, verse 10. Proverbs 2, verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thy heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Now here it is. 2 things you've got to be delivered from. To deliver thee from the way of what? The evil man. From the man that speaketh froward things. Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked. Whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. Deliverance number 2. to deliver thee from what? The strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide. Who's the guide? That's the Holy Spirit, okay? Forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth what? The covenant of her God. That's the covenant of circumcision. This is what you're giving utterance to, okay? When you went into the waters of baptism, you entered into a covenant relationship with God. And you're to declare it by faith, speaking of those things that be not, even as though they were, because we have a nature that still lies to us. But there's a big difference, hear me now, between a nature of sin and committing sin. Right? The nature of sin has the capacity to transgress. And every one of us has that nature of sin, but you don't have to transgress God. Amen? We can actually pick up our cross and deny what? The nature. That's what you're denying. You're denying what you would do naturally. What would come to you naturally. You're denying that. You're picking up your cross and you're inclining your ear to hear what He teaches us. Amen? And as you and I do that, the very things that could turn to evil if you yield to the lust of your flesh, God takes those very things around us, the corruption, and turns it into life so that all things work together for good to those that love God, those that are called. Amen? What a beautiful promise and the ability for Him to keep us in this present evil world where we're not. I like what you said. I believe it because I say all over the world, you'll never end up in resurrection as an event unless you're living in it as your life. So when is the kingdom of God coming? If it's not coming now, it's never coming. Because the only time it's going to show up is when you and I realize that this is the kingdom. It's right here. Who's ruling? If He's not ruling in your life, the kingdom will never come in you. Another kingdom will. Because one or the other is going to be ruling. So you got to be delivered from two things. From the evil man, the old man, and the old woman. So the old man, you know that the man always, whenever you talk about a man, you're speaking of the ability to give or to impart or to inspire. So that's the man part. Whenever you speak about the woman part, you're always speaking about that which receives. So your soul is in what gender? Female. Okay, so the mind, the will, and the emotions, that's all in the female gender. And as a living soul here today, everybody that's been born again in this room tonight is a living soul. At one time, your soul was dead, and the inspiration, or what you should say, what you were married to was the old man. Okay? You were in a relationship with the old man. It was your inspiration. But it says that you became dead to the law by the body of Christ so that you would be free now to marry another. So Jesus did something on your behalf and mine is He came as the last Adam. Everybody realizes that, right? He didn't come as a second Adam. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us He came as the last Adam. Why? Because there was never going to be another one. He came to put to an end the old man and be a doorway into a whole new creation. So that when you were born again, you actually became a partaker of His flesh and of His blood, and you now have the capability to live and move and have your being in a whole new creation. Now you still have the nature of the old man and the capacity to fulfill the lusts of the old man. Or if you didn't, it wouldn't tell you to deny it. Now how do you deny it? Only by the cross. Only the cross. The cross is the instrument of denial. So you have to actually pick it up. And how often do you have to die this death? Daily. So every day I'm going to die to what would be natural to me in the old man. But it's not just dying, saints. Sometimes that's all we think is this is about dying. No, it's about declaring. There's an utterance about the life you have and what you are in Christ. If all you ever do is go around talking about what you're not, I can't have this, I can't do that, and you're die. You have no life to live. So all it ever feels like is you've lost. He didn't come that you would just lose. He came that He would increase. This is about increase. This is about the seed multiplying bountifully, and we're to give expression to it. I'll tell you, when the saints of God begin to declare who they are, not because they've achieved something in and of themselves, because this journey will show you it's not by might, it's not by power, but what you're going to give honor to is the Spirit of God that's able to keep you from falling. And we're going to constantly be giving utterance to that, great utterance to it. And as you give utterance to it, remember, that's the Logos. That's the very Word of God. A divine, incorruptible Word of God. It's the thinking of the Father, and as you give utterance, the Word becomes something, becomes flesh, and you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that little woman that you and I are, don't keep running out to have an affair with the old man. Because if you sow to the flesh, what do you reap? Corruption. But instead, we know that we've been espoused to one husband, so we're always strengthening the inner man and being renewed in the spirit of our mind. And constantly speaking of those things that He spoke over me. Man, you signed a covenant in water baptism. Remind yourself of it. You may not even have understood it, but you are not who you used to be. You are not who you were in Adam. You are who you are in Christ. And there has to be utterance given to that. And of course, if these things be in you and abound, right, it's got to abound. Don't just, oh, that sounds nice on a Wednesday night meeting. I'll think about that. No, you got to start sowing. You got to start watering it. It's got to increase. It's got to be bountiful. So it doesn't matter. This doesn't, our heritage doesn't matter. Our track record doesn't matter. Our failings don't matter. We're able to do just like Paul. It is no longer I. It's Christ that lives in me. I mean, oh my gosh, that's a tremendous revelation. Because you can see even the good old Apostle Paul was getting a little discouraged. Who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? Was he born again when he said that? You better believe it. And he was still worried about a body of sin that had its hooks in him. That the tendencies and the lusts and the draw would go back into doing that which is naturally. And who's going to deliver me? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I, with the mind, see, that's the woman making a decision, serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. And so this is where we have been delivered from an old man, an evil man. But you got to be delivered from an old woman, an old woman's mentality. Because when a new man moved in to your house, he made all things new. The only thing that's not hasn't been completely renewed is our mind. So her thinking, our thinking, the woman's thinking, is still connected to the relationship she had with the man. So you see how it plays out in the beginning when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. It's how she's oriented. So you got to be delivered from first the old man, and then you got to be delivered from this woman, this strange woman. Why? Because if she forsakes the guide of her youth, and how many have you ever done that? Yeah, all we like sheep have one thing in common. We've gone astray. Okay? So even though you've been redeemed and you've got a new man in the house, sometimes we go out for a weekend affair. Not very good. But when we do, thank God His mercies have been new every morning. And we come in, and what do? We repent. That's the convicting work of the Holy Spirit to bring repentance, to grant us the gift of repentance. And we come back in, and here's what you have to do. You got to renew your vow. I was unfaithful to you, Lord. And if we're faithful to confess our sins, what is He ready to do? What a provision we have while there's grace. While there's grace. And I don't believe there's any shortage of grace. There is a shortage of time. So it's high time that we wake out of sleep, because the hour is short. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we spend, and it's not always what we say. Our actions also confirm, you know, confirm who we are. And if our actions are always identifying with an old lifestyle, an old way of habits and patterns, that underlines who we were in Adam. But these other things that we're adding to our faith help us declare who we are in Christ. And we're being transformed then by the renewing of our mind. That's how the inner man is constantly being strengthened. And we can help one another in this, can't we? We can help one another. But often we hinder one another because we have history together. There's one person who's I know who's never let me out of what they knew. How can I say this without really getting myself in trouble? somebody remembers something that I did when I was, 13. And I'm still that 13-year-old kid. And if you let it, some of you know what I'm talking about. See, that's what happens with victims. All abusive lifestyles, they now crave the victimization, because it's what maintains the personality they've developed. Right? All prostitution, all of it, where they become victims. Somewhere, something was taken away in their childhood. Something was ruined. And now that personality has to be fed by constant abuse. And it doesn't have to be physical. It can be just mental. It can be just a way of thinking. When I met my dear wife, she won't mind me telling this story, she had a terrible habit when I first met her. She'd say, "I'm just dumb." She just felt, she said, "I'm just dumb." She was only 18. "I'm just dumb." And I remember we went out a few times, and it's like, good grief, if I hear this one more time. But I liked her enough that I didn't just dump her. And I told her, I said, "That's an insult to me and to you." I said, I don't consider that I'm going out with somebody dumb, or I wouldn't go out with you. I said, and that's what I told her. Now, I don't know if this was very nice or kind, but it is what I said. I said, "If I ever hear you say that again, we're done." Guess what? She never said it again. It worked. But you can repeat over and over and over something until you believe that's who you are. And you know what? Even though that can come across as such a victim and such a beat-up, wilted flower, you know what it really is? Pride. It's the height of arrogance, because it's all about you. It's all self-conscious. So this is not about how good I am or about how bad I am. This is about Him. You're being given an invitation. I've said this before. It's His calling and His inheritance in the saints. So it's one hope of His calling. How many want to accept an invitation into His calling and get joint seating with Him in the Father's throne? And He's saying, don't be bashful. Abound in this utterance. Abound in the Logos. And begin to speak of those things that be not. And as you step up to the Jordan, remember the password. Remember the password. I no longer live. I am crucified with Christ. That's Adam. Nevertheless, I live. That's Christ. And the life that I, Christ, now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Begin to declare and give utterance with great abounding to who you are. Amen? Amen. And may the Lord bless us and strengthen us. Let's stand.